Okay. Do you consent to this oral history interview being recorded?
Yes, I do.
It is November 8th, 2024, and this is Samantha Fox conducting a recorded oral history interview with Kazembe Balogun, the executive director over here at Maisel's Documentary Center. Kazembe, welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. We'd love to know, how did you first become involved with Maisel's Documentary Center, and what drew you to its mission?
I got involved actually through a program about like it was had to be close to like maybe like 10 years ago, 12 years ago. At that time, the programmer Jessica Green had invited me to participate in a panel discussion on Manning Marble's biography of Malcolm X. And at that time, the panel discussion was with the very noted writer Mae Baraka, Harlem, very famous Harlem tenant activist Nellie Hester Bailey, past Iman Talib, who was the Iman of the of one of the local mosques, and Dequi Siddiqui, who was a veteran of the Black Panther Party, Black Power movements. And then I remember just all these are all heavyweights, and I was just like a young man at the time. And then sitting in the front row was this white dude videotaping the whole entire thing. And I turned to one of my accounts, and I asked Jessica, "Who was that?" And he was like, "Oh, that's Albert Maysles, right? That's like, who's a famed director, one of the founders and the innovators with his brother David, a direct cinema." And the panel was very hot. It was actually it was covered in the Amsterdam News. And I remember that one of those days is one of those events that really kind of like sticks with you. It was a packed audience. It was the middle of Harlem, and it was really great. And since that time, even though I had been working at other institutions, I had always kind of like kept Maisel's in my eye. Till last year, I was unemployed. I was in the I was one of the late bloomers of that kind of like the kind of like 2020 leave a job movement. And I was kind of freelancing, and I got an offer from Maisel's to come on as a guest curator, and I was excited about it. And the program that I had done was on the LaFarge Clinic, which was the first mental health clinic that was founded in Harlem for Harlem residents in the basement of St. Philip's Episcopal Church. And so my program was to do a radical reimagining of that clinic through film, and have a broader discussion around radical healthcare and healthcare and radical politics. And it ended up being a 10-film series with a ton of conversations and really kind of like, really good audiences. And this happens to be at the time they were also looking for an executive director. And I was looking for a job. I'm saying, but more than that, I was looking for, at that time, I was going through a kind of political process myself where I was becoming really concerned about the state of the world. And I knew that I wanted to be at a place where I would be in alignment with my politics, at the same time, alignment with the community. And I thought that uptown, working uptown, would be good for that, because there's always been this kind of thing for me that uptown was like a space of refuge and resistance. Saying it was a space that I always saw as part of, we take rest and sanctuary, but at the same time, it has a legacy of telling it like it is and speaking truth to power. And when I looked at the cinema kind of had the same function too, right? It's a space where people go to be entertained, but at the same time, we're growing and learning as a community. And, you know, and so I was like, this is bad. And I was like, I love this. I love this idea. And I applied and got on board, and the board voted me in. And 6 months later, you know, I'm an executive director, you know, saying, and like, you know, and this comes after like, you know, my other experience in different movement spaces around the city, you know, the Breck Forum, where I was an education coordinator, that was down in the West Village. And then I worked midtown at the Rosa Luxemburg Stiftung, which was you know, international organization. So I guess I was just like, it was just a matter of time before I got uptown. You know, so I finally got uptown. But that's how I came about to being there. And like, you know, and I'm still amazed at it. You know, I love the institution. Still trying to, you know, still wanting to like be on mission to make sure that, you know, it felt, if you know, it hits those kind of, you know, common core areas, which is like community, documentary, and education, and making sure that all three of those happen all simultaneously, and strengthening all those three of those areas.
Yeah, it's powerful stuff. I love the concept of Maisels. So Jerome Hafford's studio focuses on Black culture and legacy along Lenox Avenue and in Harlem in general. And I'm wondering what stands out to you when you look back on places like the old Victoria Cinema. What was it like, and what kind of aspects do you miss about
Oh
it?
my God, Old Victoria. Let me tell you something. Like, I remember, so I was from Old Victoria. I remember going down there when I was a kid, and actually saw movies there. Now I just saw movies there. I used to hand out political pamphlets there. Malcolm X, Spike Lee's Malcolm X played there. And, you know, I handed out pamphlets and newspapers down there, right across the street from the, it was right across the street from, 125, right next door to one, right next door to the Apollo Theater. And I remember when I was a kid, I was in this like, I was like, maybe it was like 1986, 19, maybe 86, 87, you know, around that time, I was in summer camp at the YMCA. And you know, when you're in the summer camp, you know, saying, you know, you basically like, you know, attached to a bunch of like teenagers and like young adults who really just kind of they want to do their own thing. They just kind of like they're just shepherding their little brothers and sisters around or whatever. So, you know, they decided they want to go see RoboCop, you know, like the Victoria 5. And I don't know if that was the most appropriate film to see in a bunch of 10, 11-year-olds, but we were down there, so you know they got a gaggle of us from the YMCA. This is the YMCA, the Jackie Robinson YMCA, which is the one on 135th Street. We walked over there, you know, got into the big. It was big and cavernous and dark, and you know it was a, you know, this show. And I just remember just like just watching a movie, and I remember it was way past its prime. I mean, the floors were sticky. You know, I'm saying there was definitely like, you know, marijuana in the air, you know, kids used to call it wacky tobacky, you know, like, you know, that type of stuff. But that's how we had a good time back then. It wasn't just that, it wasn't just that, but it was also like going to see my first date, the 7th grade, was see Nightmare on Elm Street at the Lowe's Paradise on Fordham Road, or going to see School Days. The Lowe's Paradise on Fordham Road, you know, and this is how, you know, you spent your afternoon with your boys. You know, you ask your mom for $5, your mom give you $10 to $15 or whatever. You go, you meet up and go to the movies. All those movies I've seen, you know, from these theaters that don't exist anymore, though, going to see the Goonies at the Whitestone Cinema, you know, in the Bronx, you know, all these different cinema houses that they were just filled with kids. And, you know, and the kids were just like, you know, you go down there, and the expectation was that you pretty much would spend the whole day at the cinema. You can, in those days, you can just sit in a movie theater all day and watch the same movie over and over again. Or, you know, most of the time they would just like just kind of just jump from movie to movie and watch it. But that's how it was in Victoria. But I remember the Victoria was like, it was a little sketchy, but it's kind of like one of those things. It's kind of like, I still have fond memories of it because it was about the movie, but it was really about just like us, as a black community, as a black kids, just having a good time. And I remember 86 too. And I ended with this. It was also just a time when there was like a lot was going on in the streets, crack was like at its height. AIDS was like at its height. You know what I'm saying? So to be a 10-year-old, 11-year-old kid, you kind of know what's going on, but it's kind of funny too, because then you got these like kind of wacky teenagers you're with in the summertime, and you're like, you're all kind of navigating it together, and then you have this kind of funny story, just like going to see RoboCop of all movies, So, but I'm glad I had a chance to experience it. I could say that I saw a movie there,
Yeah. How'd you feel when it closed? Can you tell me a little bit about what that experience was like?
It was sad because it just felt like it was part of this, like, like things like that whole block. I remember there was an OTB, a McDonald's on that block. It was just like it is kind of like the block just kind of changed after a period of time. And it was kind of like, for me, it's like one of those things. It's like when things kind of close, they don't tell you it closes, right? It just kind of hangs out for a few years. You know what I'm saying? The awnings out there, it's just, it doesn't change. It kind of just sits there. It's kind of like Mark 125, right? There's no sense of like informing anybody what's going on. And so it just kind of hung out for a while. And, I always had hopes that, at some point that maybe, it would return, or there'll be something done with it, And it was also around the time too that a lot of theaters I noticed started to like close down. I mean, it's so funny because we talk about 42nd Street and the theaters that closed down there, but this was happening all on the city. All these neighborhood theaters are closing down, and but then you get used to the times. But then the funny thing about it was, I think that as the Apollo began to renovate, and it kind of just kind of made a bigger impression. It kind of just like kind of like took over that memory of the Victoria. Now I guess the Victoria now is part of the Apollo, or is like, is like, is a part of the thing, which I think is just probably a good thing. But it would have been nice to have another theater, but that's the thing, it's just like, you gotta go with the changes,
Absolutely. So, as you know, I'm working on a project that's based on preserving third spaces while addressing environmental racism. I was wondering if you could say a little bit about what environmental racism means to you, particularly in the context of Harlem.
Oh man, let me tell you something. I mean, it is so much, because environmental racism to me, what it means to me, is like it just exacerbates the things that are already existing that we struggle with in our community, and it makes it even worse. I mean, so we are Harlem has some of the worst asthma rates in the city. Harlem has some of the worst like air pollution rates in the city. Harlem has some of the worst obesity and food desert issues in the city, and then we combine that with climate change. It makes things even harder, because things become much hotter, and as things become much hotter, it like all the things that you deal with in terms of your health disparities become even worse. We saw that during COVID, right? You know what I'm saying? The communities that were black communities, were already very sick, got impacted harder by COVID. You know what I'm saying? And black communities that already sick will also get hit harder by climate change. And that is in terms of climate change, in terms of, is it also just in terms of even the how we deal with climate change, because right now we have a policy that we deal with everything through policing, you know, and so there is a thing that's going on now called climate policing, where, like, you know, the hotter things get, the hotter during the hotter months, the New York City Police Department puts more police on the streets, and as such, there's more of a chance of incidences of bad encounters between the police and civilians, and I think that that's something that I'm worried about. I'm also worried about participation, you know, like in terms of civic events, you know, as a you know, you talk about third spaces. It's like we had a screening, for example, of a James Baldwin film, and I remember it was a rare film. And we had some really we had the director there, we had the scholar there, and only four people showed up. And the reason being was because it was 101 degrees that day. Like, you know what I'm saying? No one wanted to go outside. You know what I'm saying? Not even to the air conditioning, not even to the air conditioning third space cinema, like, because it was so hot. And so now, as a third space, I also have to mitigate that risk as well in terms of thinking about when I do screenings. You know, is it gonna be, and I even put it in my advertising these days that I say, come to the theater early and have a cool drink and hang out in the air conditioning to get in to entice people to come, because I know the question around heat is going to impact the attendance to the event, right? So these are all things that, like, have an impact, like, you know, either subtly or overtly on terms of, like, how we move as a community. And you know, it's something we have to address, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So on kind of a slightly different note, what do you think the future of Maisels is, and how does it play into the cultural context of Harlem?
I think Maisels is, I think, to be honest with you, like, the way I encapsulate Maisels is that I'm somewhat provocative saying that, but I'll say that it's multiracial, you know, it's multiracial coalition in service of Black liberation. And you know what I'm saying? And what I mean by that is that it, you know, it still ha you know, it maintains the notion of very, you know, radical Black liberatory practices of open door, of invitation, and of learning and of community, you know, within the context of a New Harlem. You know what I'm saying? And so, and I don't know whether or not, you know, it this was, I don't think that this was something that Albert Maisel said to himself. It was like, I'm going to go up to Harlem and just do this. You know what I'm saying? I think he probably thought, I think maybe there was an idea that, you know, this was a great building and this is a great community, and I think I can see myself being up here and doing that stuff. But his attitude, you know, opening the doors to, you know, impacting youth, the justice impacting youth to take video classes, right? Then inviting the Black Panther Party to do their film festival there, right? It's kind of like, once you do stuff like that, it's kind of like, it's kind of almost like, you know, and I keep saying, like, it's as if you, like, you grafted a canal, and then the birds come back, you know what I'm saying? And the birds help to develop trees, and the trees help develop squirrels, and then the coyotes come and get the squirrels, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole ecosystem then, right? And that's what happened, right? Like, you know, they crafted this great canal, and a natural ecosystem came about that. And it came out about that without, like, money being at the center of it, you know? And it was a beautiful thing. And because they did it, it became this beautiful thing in Harlem that became to be a reflection of the best of Harlem's values. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I see as, like, there's always been this funny thing in the movie industry where the old cinemas become churches. You know what I'm saying? And I think that, you know, I think that you have, you know, you have this thing with Maisels, like, camera obscura, is like this living cinema holding the values of the old church in a lot of ways. You know what I'm saying? You know, in its practices, you know what I'm saying? And so for me, it's attractive in a very spiritual way, in a very political way, in a way that's I think is real. And you say the future, definitely with these election results and where the country's going, like we need spaces of welcoming and of community togetherness and a counter more than ever, because the ability for fascism to rise is based on fragmentation. You know what I'm saying? And intolerance. You know what I'm saying? And like and having an attitude of either or as opposed to both and. And so, you know, and so the film form itself contains a multitude. You know what I'm saying? Is a practice that contains so many possibilities. Like, you know, and you know, and I think the film house has to do the same thing too. So as an institution, I think that, you know, we're gonna try to stay steadfast with that in the face of the winds that we face right now, which is the always consistent existential threats of like of gentrification, you know what I'm saying, climate change, you know what I'm saying, racism. But you know, but I think that the ideals of the organ, like last night we had this like Thomas Allen Harris, and it was just like Jerome was there, you know what I'm saying, and it was like, you know, it was you know, and a bunch of people there, and it was like it was amazing, packed house, you know. And the night before we had Rezone Harlem, packed house, you know, Michael Henry Adams, you know. And so those voices, to institutionalize those voices, to have those voices present, like to me, like that's the experience I want to provide Harlem residents, similar to what I felt like when I walked into the Victoria, like, you know, this kind of like life-changing, life-memorizing experience.
That's all beautiful. So, hypothetically, if you could expand into the adjacent building or, you know, further upstairs in your building, how would you want Maisels to grow and develop?
Oh man, you know, I've been thinking about that, and I want to say thank you so much, Samantha, because, you know, like, you know, we've been working with architects, and your thing really had me thinking, because, you know, when I'm we're gonna be in conversation next week around the future of Maisels, and one thing I realized that we have to really ask ourselves and dare to dream bigger in terms of what we want. And when I look at a place like Anthology Film, no, like the Film Anthology Archives, like, their mission is in their title, right? They're like, we're archive, right? They do keep, like, they have the largest repertory of avant-garde film in the world, right? And the anthology, because what they do is they screen essential cinema throughout the year, in addition to all the new stuff they screen, right? And the film form is kind of simple, similar, right? They're a gathering place for, you know, cinephiles, you know, and they have a repertory theater. And so for me, I think that that our mission has to expand. And the way I look at it now is that I would love to see Maisels, you know, expand to two screens. You know, I would love to have like the Maisel screen, and I would love to have a Jesse Maple screen, like, you know, named after the famous Black Harlem director. You know, and have, you know, and have, you know, essential theater that focuses on the Harlem experience as part of it. I think that we need to expand our educational suites, you know, and alongside that, have a space that we can do archiving in the maintenance of archives from the Harlem community, you know, saying on video and on Super 8 and on Super 16, you know, and do that as a project. And I think that we need a dedicated like community third space that people can just gather. You know, that bottom floor is so important to folks. You know, saying like people love the cinema, but when they see the bottom, like, oh my God, this bottom floor has so much possibilities, and you know, and they love it, and I love the fact that they use it as a third space that you know, that can be transformed into anything from like a meditation classes to a church to a political meeting to things of that nature. I think we still need that as well. So if I had to do that, if I had to do it, like I would love to see like each one of those floors take on some of those roles and just be like a real, and it would be like a real center. Like, you know, you'll go there as a center and like, you know, like a real, like as a real documentary center, again, with the pillars of community, documentary, and education being at the core of each one of those things that we do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, great. Thank you so much for taking the time, Kazembe. It was really lovely chatting with you. Any final thoughts?
No, this has been really great. Thank you for allowing me to expound on this a little bit more. This is very also like as equally helpful to you is helpful for me too. So what I'm gonna do is that I'm gonna have to go pick up my son, but then I'm gonna go what do you call it? How do you say this? I'll have the form ready for you later tonight, okay? Later this afternoon, okay?
Great. Thank you so much.
All right, you have a good night, all right? You have a good weekend, all right? Bye-bye.